a lot of your time and say that there's good news and bad news about CME. The good news is that this organization has been reaccredited to provide CME for the next 4 years through 2020. And the more complicated news that I'll just touch on briefly is that, like everything in medicine, it's become more complicated to do our job with CME. I was at a meeting last year for my specialty for gastroenterology. First time I went to this meeting was in LA at Cedars-Sinai. It was for 4 days. It cost a lot more than this conference, and I found the content to be amazing. Just so impressed. I went into that meeting with really three things I wanted to learn, and I left the meeting with at least five things. Well, there was many, many things, but five things that immediately impacted my practice that I went back and I did that week. And so impressed with the meeting, I ran into the guy that put on that meeting at a conference in Park City in February of this year. And I told him, I'm so appreciative of your meeting. You've been doing it for 20 years. This year was the 20th year, and I loved it. I had some questions for him, and he says, well, sadly, Chad, I think it may be our last year of doing it. I'm like, well, why would you, what happened? He says, well, it's become too expensive. It's so complicated, the CME part, and I just don't have the staff, and I lost the energy. So we may not do it next year. And I said, geez, that's too bad, you know, because your conference is really, really good. And I'm sure he'll be back, but I caught him at probably his most frequent or his most disappointing moment at the termination of his last conference, this year's conference, when he's just like, you know, it's just overwhelming. I'm here to say that as a testament to this organization, we've been around for 72 years. And that we're able to do this with the help of this board and with Teresa and with administrators. CME delivery and complying with the rules and regulations become more complicated, and part of that burden will shift to you in coming years. You help us by identifying, when you fill out your evaluations and you put down information, you help us identify those knowledge gaps and those performance gaps that help us do our job from the CME component. And so we invite you to fill those out, to give us comments, to help us reach that goal and that end. I'm confident going forward in this organization that we'll be around for another 72 years, and we'll continue to work on your behalf and continue to achieve accreditation year in and year out so that we can provide CME credits for this meeting. And if any of you have any questions or concerns or ideas that can improve the content of this course from year to year, please shoot us an email, write it down on your evaluation forms. I must tell you that we look at every single evaluation. It comes in a report. In fact, we don't look at it once, we look at it like three times. When I first joined this board, I was like, okay, do we have to look at it every time we meet? And we do over and over again. And when I was past president, I used those comments to help direct and build content for the coming year. And so what you put on that form may be a topic of the next meeting. Well, that's about all I have to say. Again, we're accredited through 2020, and we'll continue to work on that accreditation every year. Thanks.
Well, I love being on the board because I always get the most fun assignments. So sometimes in your life, you have, through serendipity, the opportunity to run into extraordinary people. So I want to just share how we have the privilege of having Dean Hurst speak to us. Dean Hurst, for those of you who do not know, is a pillar of this community, particularly this Weber State community. Has done amazing things for the education and particularly for this university. But another of his colleagues, his peers in that 90-year-old, not quite centenarians yet, but getting close, is Jack Lampros. And I was invited by Jack Lampros, another pillar of Weber State, to come to the Civil War lecture this last year. And I was sitting up in the front, and Dean came over to talk to Jack and I. And I just mentioned something about Ogden Surgical, and he started to share the most marvelous story, which is why I've asked him to come share this historical vignette on Ogden Surgical. If you know any of the background of the origins of this society, we had a marvelous relationship with the Ochsner Clinic, particularly with Dr. Ochsner. Our most close current modern equivalent of that would be Brent James, and hopefully we'll keep Brent James coming regularly. Because Dr. Ochsner participated, if I remember correctly, more than 20 years in the society. And when I was mentioning this to Dean, he started telling me a story about Dr. Ochsner. So with that introduction, I turn the time over to our wonderful colleague, Dean Hurst.
The names of Dr. Dumpke and Ochsner and the Ogden Surgical Medical Association, or Society, have a very special meaning to the Hurst family. Pasted in my mother's personal journal, along with photographs, are two articles from the Ogden Standard Examiner newspaper. One is the obituary of Dr. Ezekiel Dumpke, noting that he was one of the prime movers in the organization of what was then called the Ogden Surgical Society. The other article was a headline that reads, "New Orleans Authority Holds Place in Surgeon Program," and includes the following information, quote, "Among the distinguished men of medicine who will take part in the second Ogden Surgical Society meeting May 16th, 17th, and 18th will be Dr. Alton Ochsner. Subjects he is expected to lecture on include surgery of the sympathetic nervous system." And then below those two articles is a handwritten notice, "The two doctors who prolonged my life." In response to Dr. Campbell's request for me to share this story, I'll read excerpts from the handwritten journal of Deseret Ione Salt Hurst, my mother. Earlier references refer to a history of kidney problems, high blood pressure, but my remarks begin primarily with health issues that mother experienced shortly before and following after my younger brother, Jim, in 1935. She writes, "I was really happy at the thought of having another baby, but again, complications set in. I had kidney trouble, palpitations of the heart. It would beat so hard and fast. My blood pressure was the thing that concerned the doctor the most. And the further along I went, the worse I became. My blood pressure didn't go down after Jimmy was born. I didn't respond to the medication the doctor gave me, so I was put to bed. I didn't feel like doing anything. I was so tired, couldn't sleep. In January 1937, I went to see my obstetrician. I think he was frustrated because he couldn't get my blood pressure down. When I went in that day, he took my blood pressure, and it was off the charts. The figure that Mother had written in here, I can't believe is accurate. It would be too high. No one could be living. Suffice to say, it was just off the charts. He finally said, I've done all I can do for you. It may be 6 months, or it might be tomorrow, you'll have a stroke. I went out of his office in shock. I stopped at the corner of 24th Street and Washington Boulevard, crossed the street to the Eccles Building, and took the elevator up to see our family doctor, Ezekiel Dumpke. I just walked into his office instead of the waiting room. When I saw him and he saw me, I burst into tears. I told him what the doctor just told me. At that time, Mother was just 33 years old. Dr. Dumpke said, "You're just a kid. You're too young to have trouble like that. We'll find out what's the trouble." So he started me taking a number of tests, but nothing seemed to help. Dr. Dumke was very concerned about me when I went for my next checkup. He told me about a specialist, Dr. Alton Ochsner, who worked in a clinic in New Orleans. He was a very good friend of Dr. Dumke, and after discussing my problems with him, he said he would perform an operation called a sympathectomy and a adrenalectomy, whatever that meant, she wrote. It had never been done out here in the West. I told Dr. Dumke that we could never afford a specialist like that. He said, don't worry about that. I'll arrange for a doctor's consultation and operation that all the doctors can witness at the next Ogden Surgical Society. The main part of the operation was to cut some nerves in my back. On April the 10th, I went up to the D hospital. I wanted so badly to meet this Dr. Ochsner, but the nurses all said he was too busy. I was to go into surgery at 9 a.m. I was so frightened, but just before I went in, the door opened and Dr. Ochsner put his head in, told me who he was. I was so glad to meet him. I said, I just want you to know that I have a husband and four babies that need me. And he said, with your faith and my experience, you'll be just fine. I wasn't afraid anymore. I went into surgery for 3 hours. They cut the nerves, took out a rib, and between the liver and kidney, there was a tumor, fortunately non-malignant. For the next 3 or 4 days, I didn't know whether I'd make it or not. But after a week, my blood pressure came down to normal. After 2 weeks, I was ready to go home. I was down for about a month, but each day I felt better and stronger. I finally felt better than I had ever. And then Mom adds this note. The reason I went into detail on this sickness and the subsequent operation was because Dr. Dumke said, quote, your name will go down in history. So I guess maybe it has. Missing page. Mother went on to live a remarkable and extended life. She and her husband not only raised their own four children, they also fostered more than 40 other children and teens. For 24 years, she directed a girls' camp in North Fork, made numerous hikes to Mount Ben Lomond, the last one at age 65. She traveled extensively throughout the United States and Europe, and learned how to snorkel at age 84 in Hawaii. She accepted many demanding assignments in church and remained physically active and mentally alert until her death at age 94. Over the years, Mother had further contact with Dr. Ochsner at subsequent society notations and noted the date of his death in her journal, September the 24th, 1981, at age 85. She had outlived the doctor, and who had miraculously added so many years to her life. And here's just a conclusion to that story. When members of the Ezekiel R. Dumke family were honored at the memorialization of the Dumke Legacy Hall in Weber State University's Hearst Center, I had the chance to share my mother's story with Dr. Dumke's family and members who had never heard it before. So now you know the reasons why the names Dumke and Ochsner and the Ogden Surgical Medical Society all rank so high in the annals of Hearst family history. And that's kind of what it's all about, isn't it? Thank you for this opportunity of sharing.
We have a plaque, a certificate of award that on our behalf, the Society's behalf, we are giving. And this is what it says. The Ogden Surgical Medical Society certifies that Dean W. Hearst is awarded an honorary membership for participation in the live educational activity titled Medicine in Tomorrowland, the Ogden Surgical Medical Society, May 19, 2017.
Oh, that's precious.
I'll carry it down for you.
Thank you. As you can see, history is a big part of this organization, maybe partly because this organization has been going for 72 years. We're almost done. Just two items remain. Jason, would you like to come up? So it is tradition to give the gavel of appreciation to the president. Now, I didn't know when I started all this what a gavel was. But this is a gavel, and this is.
We're glad you don't, Mark.
And actually, apparently, Dr. Hoagland didn't know what a gavel was either, because when I sent him a message saying we're going to give you the gavel of appreciation, he said, "Is that something like the lasso of what did he say?
Truth.
The lasso of truth from Wonder Woman," is what he said. No, it's not, but maybe we'll think about doing that for future years. I went to medical school with Jason, and a couple of things you know I knew way back then was, number one, he would become a great doctor. And a couple other things is you got the feeling that he was an innovator and had a good business sense. And I think that fits with his theme this year of medicine in Tomorrowland, and what the future of medicine is. And I think that has been very well, been done very well at this conference. And so we're grateful for Jason and the hard work he's put into this conference and all the great speakers. It is a lot of work, and he's done a great job. So please join me in a hand of appreciation for Dr. Hoagland. And then, so I'll sit down, and then Jason has a presentation to give.
Great historian, thanks, Al. So, just real briefly, if Teresa can come on up. Teresa, and if all the staff for Ogden Surgical Medical Society could please come in from the outside if they could. I don't know if they were invited to come, just real briefly. You come up here, Teresa. So it's so for any small amount of work, for any small amount of work that has to be involved with putting on the president's role of this, there's a much greater infrastructure and work that happens, as you know, involved in putting together all the logistics that makes this conference happen. And so if you could just take a look around just for the staff that's standing up in the back that's involved with Ogden Surgical, and Teresa up front, if you could please give them a round of applause. And I appreciate their stand up. So. As a very small token of my appreciation, I've gotten some flowers for Teresa, and in true organizational form, she did have on the program flowers for Teresa, and so it's to remind us to be responsible, and so, but thanks, Teresa.
Uh, Okay, that concludes our business meeting. We're running a little bit behind, but that's okay. We're going to give our next speaker the full half hour, and we'll just spill into our break a little bit.